Time to catch up with the week's business and finance news. And I'm joined by the ABC's business correspondent, Peter Ryan. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
Financial Services Royal Commission starts next week. Well, it resumes. It doesn't start. Can you give us a quick reminder of what we've heard so far?
Well, Patricia, the way I've been summing up the Financial Services Royal Commission, it's really been a bit of a front row seat of how sausages are made in the banking sense, because we've really been able to see the people who've made decisions, the bankers, the brokers, also some of the victims, to really explain how the industry operates. And in the first round of hearings, we heard from mortgage brokers, car finance brokers, and everything that goes on behind the scenes. For example, in cars, anyone who's bought a car would know that you just don't walk out of the showroom after having bought a new car or a used car. There's always some sort of add-on, and often it's insurance, comprehensive insurance, wheel insurance, rim insurance. But in the background, it's all about the commissions that brokers get. And these are really coming out into the open.
So what will the focus be when the Royal Commission does resume?
We've moved from the first round of hearings from the broking business into financial advice and wealth management, and this gets underway on Tuesday of next week. So, for example, anyone who's bought insurance or been sold insurance over the years will be really hearing about the way the industry operates. For example, if you get a product but you don't pay for it, who gets the commission? How does that work? Getting into the area that we've been hearing a lot about in recent years, inappropriate financial advice, which was really at the heart of one of the big scandals that the Commonwealth Bank had in their financial planning area. And actually that bled into what was going on at the Commonwealth Bank's life insurance business, CommInsure. And that all comes down to improper conduct by financial advisors, and also just how the system's meant to work, the disciplinary regime for financial advice. So both flavours of government, both Labor and the current coalition government, are really coming down hard on the financial advice industry. So it's going to be interesting what we actually see at the end of the Royal Commission.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Commonwealth Bank. The Commonwealth Bank has a new chief executive. Tell me about him. He's replacing, of course, Ian Narev.
Yes, this is Matt Comyn. He's very much a CBA lifer, and he was the head of the CBA's retail banking business, which actually was at the heart of most of the scandals involved there. But Mr. Comyn's 42 years old. He had his first day yesterday, taking over from Ian Narev, who on his first day not being CBA chief executive must have been sitting back, relaxing, perhaps sleeping in, having a nice glass of red at the end of the day, knowing that they were his problems no more. But Matt Comyn did what a lot of people in those difficult situations do, and he began his first day by issuing a letter to the CBA's 51,000 staff, effectively saying sorry, taking responsibility on behalf of himself and fellow executives for some of the mistakes that were made. And we know that it's not just the financial planning scandal or the CommInsure scandal, but in August last year, the revelations from the Financial Intelligence Agency, AUSTRAC, that the CBA breached anti-money laundering and anti-terror financing laws on 54,000 occasions. So this was, you know, a massive scandal and potentially massive fines as well. So Matt Comyn's role is to restore the reputation of the CBA, but also to negotiate, I guess, via legal channels in court or behind the scenes with AUSTRAC to see if there can be some sort of settlement hammered out, given those 54,000 anti-money laundering charges that are before the courts. And I have to say, AUSTRAC are playing this case very, very hard.
Let's just move to one of the biggest stories in the world, really, and that's the very high-profile news that Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is set to face the US Congress tomorrow. What are the major questions that Congress will want answered, and is he likely to answer them?
Well, he's really been trying to preempt a lot of this, Patricia. Mark Zuckerberg issued a 7-page statement ahead of his congressional grilling, basically saying that, yes, Facebook didn't do enough to prevent its business being used to roll out fake news and to harm users and to be used for, potentially foreign interference in elections, as we saw from the allegations with the US presidential election in 2016, hate speech. But I think one of the big questions that the US Congress will be asking is, why has it taken you so long to actually get on the front foot, admit error, and make sure that the systems have been tightened up? So for now, Mark Zuckerberg saying that, yes, it's my mistake, I'm sorry, I started this business, I run it, I'm responsible for what happens. But he really has to prove to politicians, but also US regulators, that things are changing. And I'd have to say that a lot of users around the world are pretty angry that their suspicions have been confirmed and that their private data has been used. Although it has to be said that if you look at the amount of personal information that people put out there voluntarily, they shouldn't really be surprised that some of it would be nicked and used by outfits like Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I reckon a few texts are going to come in now. Yeah, there's one thing sharing it with your mates, right? But thinking that someone's going to take it and make a buck out of it or use it to politically influence an election is a whole other thing. Is anything concrete likely to come out of this? It's not the first time Facebook, of course, has faced Congress to apologise. Apologies are one thing, but actually changing something in the way you operate is a whole other game, isn't it?
Well, I think that the big investors, the people who've put a lot of money or have a lot of money invested in Facebook, will be wanting to make sure that it remains a going concern. And if users see any more of the tactics of Cambridge Analytica or evidence that their private data has been misused for election campaigns, they may well be starting to say, well, you know, it's about time we gave this away. Perhaps we might spend more time actually speaking to the family or reading a book. I don't think anyone's suggesting that Facebook is about to fade away, but Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook board will be under a lot of pressure to make sure that major changes are made and the people, you know, who do use it to communicate with families and friends don't find their personal information being used for political campaigns or hate speech.
Thank you so much for your time, Peter.
It's a pleasure.